Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Writer's Lounge, show number 64. This is February 17th, 2014. I'm your host, Tom Riddell. Joining me shortly will be my guest co-host, Lisa Lee. And a brief intro to today's show. We're having on again, we're going to have on Shawana Pugh, and she's written the Crimson Footprints series. And this book that we're reviewing tonight would be Crimson Footprints number 2, would be New Beginnings. And we'll be talking a little bit about all of the three books in that series. So she will be on about quarter after the hour, and hope you will be listening when she comes on to the Writer's Lounge. Now, a little bit about the show, the Writer's Lounge blog, you can find over at tomriddell.com/blog. And the Blog Talk radio player is located in the upper left-hand corner of the page, so you can listen to the shows as you read the reviews. We're also on Facebook, so go ahead and search for us on Facebook and like us on Facebook. And if you'd like, also, you can contact us the old-fashioned way, twl11@yahoo.com is our email. Upcoming guest authors, 2 weeks from tonight, Samuel Hawley will be on with a very special book that he wrote called Bad Elephant Forest Dream. It's an actual story based on a true story. And it's about an elephant who was electrocuted in 1903 for being a bad elephant. More about that on the show in 2 weeks. Also, the big event that's coming up March 31st, we're starting to promote it now. So mark your calendars for this. It's going to be a big show, and most of you people out there, a lot of you people out there who are writers and readers alike, will know the names Hugh Howey, Michael Sullivan, and Brian Anderson, and they will be on our program on March 31st. And get on over to the Facebook page, and you'll see more about the authors over there in a spotlight series up until that point. We will be running those quite regularly. Also, the Magic Pen Web Design is our sponsor for this month, and Magic Pen Web Design offers its clients a simple, effective, and affordable approach website design development. And go on over to magicpenwebdesign.com and fill out the free estimate form, and let Magic Pen help you to sell the next book with a website design that works its magic for you. And for you people that would like to call into the show, you can do that tonight and talk to Shawana Pugh and us at 626-213-5613 or toll free at 877-878-1436. And now I'd like to bring on my guest co-host, Lisa Lee, who has just completed another show in the studio right next to ours. And it sounds like we're in some kind of a building here where we're doing production.
You've raced over
from the other room. So, Lisa, I understand, of course, we've talked about what you do on the show here when you've been on before. And I've also noticed and really liked to know and to read what you write over at a blog that you do. You were writing about the weather here in Minnesota, and I found it very hilarious, and it is funny, right? I mean, we have to laugh.
I hate Minnesota.
You hate Minnesota, but the whole country is experiencing this
polar
stuff.
Polar stupid vortex.
Yes, and I just found out today that the polar vortex is actually a name that the media created.
Really?
Yeah, because it used to be a cold snap. So now it's the polar vortex.
Okay.
Right, to scare the shit out of everybody and make people leave Minnesota and all these northern states and then make room down there in Florida or the southern.
Yeah, they're getting cold too, though.
Yeah, they are. 50 degrees.
Oh, poor baby. Try 50 below, bitches.
Yeah, exactly. Hang in there with the weather and we'll make it to spring one of these days, hopefully.
Yeah, I don't believe it.
So a little bit about your writing. How often do you blog and where can we find you blogging?
You can go to lisalea.com. That's my own personal website, lisalea.com. And I used to only blog once in a while just because I don't care. But because of my own radio show, my producer asked me to blog at the very least once a week. So I'm trying to do that.
So you have to come up with a subject.
Something.
Yeah, something that pops into your head.
And yesterday I was pissed about the weather.
Right. And today a very special thing happened to you this afternoon when you were over at Taco Bell.
I got proposed to.
Yes, you did. And who was it? This is the most exciting thing I've ever heard of.
I'm still trying to decide if I'm going to say yes or not. I'm not going to lie. Because so far I haven't had a husband yet that had a job.
Right.
And so it was the hot sauce Taco Bell hot sauce packet that actually... it said, will you marry me? Like, do I really want to support yet another husband? I don't know. Is it worth it?
But this one's really hot.
It might be very hot. But then once it's run out...
yeah. Once
does the love just go away?
Yeah, once you suck the love out of it.
Oh, sorry.
All right. Sorry, maybe we shouldn't have used that terminology, but...
I've had Pepsi. I'm a little wired.
Yeah. Well, anyways, I thought that was kind of funny. And once again, your blogs are great. I know that when I say you're a good writer, you kind of make a face.
Well, because, yeah.
But
I'm not
because
a writer.
You are. But you are. We all are. We all can write. Some of us can write good. Some of us not so good. And looks like we're filling up the switchboard here. Must have been the proposal that you got. Maybe other people are trying to call in here to see if they can get in on the action. Maybe this is ketchup calling. Yeah, Mayo is calling. Wants to propose to you.
I'll say yes. You have to have a job in a heartbeat. But you know who I want to marry?
Huh?
I've already got it figured out.
Who?
I need a 98-year-old billionaire.
Yeah.
With a heartbeat.
With no libido.
No libido. No heirs. And all he wants to do is watch The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills with me. That's what he gets out of it.
That's it. And then he can eat once in a while, right?
Oh, I'll feed him.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Hot sauce.
There you go. Okay. Let's see. What else were we going to talk about? Oh, on a more serious note, we have a friend of ours, and I'm going to let you talk to the people out there a little bit about our friend Vinny and your very good friend, our very good friend, Teresa. We're going through a very difficult time now, and seems like when it rains, it pours. And today we had another setback in their lives. Can you explain a little bit about that?
Yeah. I've known Teresa and Vinny Savina for, I don't even know how long, like a decade maybe. And Teresa is my co-host on my radio show, The Citispell Show. And she and I call each other sister wives, even though obviously it's not real. But but Vinny is the sweetest man, and they've got this epic love for each other that's just amazing and beautiful and insane.
Mm-hmm.
But Vinny was just diagnosed a couple of weeks ago with esophageal cancer. And about a year ago, they came into quite a bit of money, and what they did with that money was donate it, most of it. I mean, they even bought a lady a house, for God's sake. But they are down to, like, nothing now. And then he got cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And between the cancer and all of the bills that come with that, Vinny can't work anymore because obviously he's going through all the radiation and chemotherapy.
He'll be out of work for 3 or 4 months at least.
Probably more like 6.
Yeah.
And today on his way to radiation, he got into a car accident and totaled the car. So I put together this, it's under GoFundMe. I called it Kicking Cancer's Ass, I believe, or
mm-hmm.
Help the Savinas Kick yeah. Cancer's Ass
yeah.
or something. So even if you could please even just donate a dollar, you know, anything helps. They are in desperate times right now. And like I said, they all that money they came into is gone now because they used all of it to help other people.
Right.
And now they need our help.
Two very special people indeed. And I want to remind everybody that if you are listening live, you can go ahead and fund them.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find them again where?
If you go to GoFundMe.com and look up Savina, S-A-V-I-N-A, it's on there.
Okay. And the other thing, once again, is that we do have live listeners, but we also have archives. So if you're listening to the show on the archive, don't feel that you've run out of time. You can donate at any time, and they would really, really need your help, and I'm sure they would really appreciate it. They're wonderful people. I've known them for several years now, and you don't come any better than that. So we wish the best to Teresa and Vinny, and hope you can help them out. And before we bring on our main guest here, I would like to mention something that I forgot to do in the opening commentary here, promotion of the show. But TWL book promotion, if you want to promote your book, you can go to Facebook page, to our Facebook page at facebook.com/pages/The Writer's Lounge Showcasing New Authors and find out what you need to do to promote your book on our show. And also, we are opening up a session for the April through July. So please submit your book. We would prefer that you submit it with a MOBI file, but if you send any file like a Word document, we can convert it. So get on over there to twl11@yahoo.com. Go ahead and send us your request, and we will be filling up quickly for those shows that are coming up once again from April through July. And with the book promotion, back to the book promotion, I do have a few to read to you about book promotion. And the first one is Her Name is Violence by Matt Madigan, and the book description is one group of violent felons, one innocent child, one violent death film, one extremely violent detective all come together in a city ready to erupt under a relentless summer's heat. Detective Reed Hollow becomes a hunter in a sea of human scum, acting as lawlessly and more aggressively than the criminals he stalks through alleys, warehouses, and cheap hotels. Fueled by the obsession with death and the mental scars of a life of violence, Hollow takes this case personally and will stop at nothing to destroy the people who murdered this poor child for their own debased pleasures. And once again, the name of the book is Her Name is Violence by Matt Madigan. Next one on our book promotion list is Lines Along the Wall by Dave Moore. This is a true story, a book description. Lines Along the Wall is a true story of a boy finding his way to manhood as Dave pursues his dream of becoming a military aviator. In this inspiring story, Dave takes you along through the decisions, what he calls the lines he has chosen in his life, good and bad, through his adventures and some hilarious and some serious, you'll find a way to relate. Lines Along the Wall by Dave Moore. The last one in our promotion for this show would be A Secret Worth Keeping by Lakeisha Johnson. And book description is, Shelby is a career woman turned housewife who enjoys the friendships that have been built with her 5 best friends, Camille, Lanisha, Relin, Carrie, and Chloe. They're all career women with different businesses, husbands, and even children, but something is missing and they can't seem to find it at home, in a store, or even in a book. So they search for this missing piece in the beds, arms, cars, and even offices of other men who don't mind paying for what dem-damn divas can offer. They enjoy the thrill of sneaking, creeping, and even vacationing on someone else's dime, but they soon find out that all good things come to an end. And once again, that's A Secret Worth Keeping by Lakeisha Johnson. And that's the end of our book promotion for this show. And we will bring on our guest author at this time. And let me see if I get... Let's see, I'm going to have to grab yours here. There we go. And the book is Crimson Footprints 2, New Beginnings, is written by Shawanda Pugh and published by Delphine Publications in 2013. You may purchase it at Amazon.com/Kindle, and you can visit the author on Facebook. An 11-year-old boy hitchhikes 1,500 miles from Bismarck to Miami. A prostitute yearns for escape from a prison of her own making, and the horrible secrets of a long-ago murder are unraveled in the shadows of one woman's dreams. Lizzie Hammond is an ill-fated whore that believes in little save her own ultimate demise. Kenji Tanaka is a pseudo-architect content to hide in the shadows of his family's overwhelming success. Neither can stand the other. But the appearance of a boy only rumored to be true helps them discover that two unlikely halves can fit together as a perfect whole. For Lizzie Hammond and Kenji Tanaka, redemption is found in the most unlikely of places, each other, even as the world around them disintegrates. This story, as was the case in the first book of this series, points out all of the complexities of life and the conflicts that can arise when people who have been tossed into a difficult existence try to mix the extreme pleasures and pains of living in hopes of coming up with a happily ever after. Sometimes it's like trying to mix oil and water. When you take the pain and hopelessness of the impoverished and couple it with the comfort and prosperity of the rich, the story which can be told will be one of interest and intrigue. The author measures up to the task and delivers an emotional tale of poverty, wealth, family, love, and romance. Shawanda Pugh brings back many of the same characters you met in her first book, and she does it with exceptionally fine-tuned writing skills, which is a huge credit to her and her continued success as a writer. She continues to excel as an author, and I predict that she will keep climbing up those bestseller lists. And hopefully I've got the right phone here. We have two people on the line, and hopefully this is Shawanda. And Shawanda, is that you?
I'm here. Do you have me?
Yes, I do. Welcome back to the
Writer's
Room.
All right, you did it.
Yeah, I did it. And we have another caller on the line, and I suppose what I will do, since this caller has been on for like 10 minutes, I'm going to bring that caller on from the 701 area code, and I will do that right now. So caller from 701, what is your question or comment for Shawanda? Hello?
I think he's there. She's there. They're
probably on hold and they don't realize they're on the air.
Yeah.
Or they're listening to the show. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to mute them and try them again later. They may have gone somewhere or gone to grab something to eat, may come back to the phone. So, Shawanda, it's great to have you back. I had to go back and listen to our show from May, and it was funny because in May we were dealing with getting rid of winter here in Minnesota, and it was right around the time that I'd gone to camp, and we were having ice coming off the lake up at Lake Mille Lacs, and I remember that show. So hopefully, back then you brought in summer, and hopefully after our talk today, you will bring in spring.
Yes, please.
And I would like.
I was going to ask, did I brag about my good weather? Did I happen to do that?
Yeah, a couple of times.
I figured. Well,
Shawanda, before we get on with the questions, I'd like you to introduce you to my co-host here, my guest co-host, as Robin's taking a break from the show, but this is Lisa Lee. So hello to both of you.
I have heard so many amazing things about you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Well, it's good to chat with you, Lisa Lee.
And Tom gave your book 5 stars. He doesn't just do that, so I'm so impressed.
Yeah.
Well, Tom is awesome. Oh.
She's a great writer, and she deserves every star she gets, and she is a star, and she's proven that. And with that, Shawanda, could you read an excerpt from your book number 2?
Sure, let's go for it. Lizzie careened for a look at the fast, unraveling interstate behind her, hair whipping in the wind, relief and madness flooding her in equal measure. When she turned back to Kenji, it was with the realization that he was going far too fast and far too fast north. He lived in the other direction. "Where are we going?" Lizzie demanded. Briefly, Cat's wild admonishments came flooding back to her. "Palm Springs. There's a detox center that's expecting you," he said, fist gripping the wheel. He'd had a friend at the University of Miami with a coke problem. One call to him, then to the posh unit where he'd stayed, had all been enough, done as he drove to get Lizzie. The mere hint of pro bono work from the Tanaka firm had made a 6-month waiting list dissolve to nothing. Kenji took in her sudden, frightened expression, more afraid than when snow was on his way, and had a moment's hesitation. "This is what you want, right?" He slowed. "Right?" Lizzie lowered her head, brown waves fluttering south like a river downstream. What would it be like to run hands through hair like that, to feel it whisper across his flesh? "It'll never work," she said softly. And for a moment he thought she'd read his mind. "It never does. I'm broken, past treatment." He looked away and found himself aching for her. Kenji blotted out sudden, unexpected tears with a blink of the eye. "One moment," he said firmly. "1 month," he said firmly. "1 month is what it should take. And when you get out, I'll be the one at the exit, car revved and impatient for you." Lizzie's face crumpled indecisively, halfway between a smile and tears. He couldn't bear that, so he turned to the road, far beyond an innocent bystander in her sorrow. When had it happened? How had it happened? He just couldn't tell. Kenji squinted at the road, demanding discipline in the place of emotion. But she hugged him, something half clinging and searing and pushing him where he ought not go. He wrapped an arm around her, wind whipping those wild chocolate locks with the top down on the Audi. Lizzie snuggled into him, and they drove the hour and a half to Palm Springs in silence.
Very good.
Thank you.
Shawanda, it was interesting. There's a couple of interesting characters. They're all interesting, but there's a couple characters in the story that probably have the most impact on the readers who are reading the book. One of them would be, of course, Lizzie, which was in she was in book number 1. And the other one, which was Tony, is a young gentleman, young boy, who wanders across the United States hitchhiking from the Midwest. And I found it very interesting, and I wanted to make sure I remembered to mention this to you, but in your opening of book number 2, you had talked about us people here in the Midwest, kind of like the movie Fargo in some ways. But But I found that quite funny and hilarious. And, of course, you know, I'm not originally from here, but I really enjoyed that part of it. I was wondering if you were taking a shot at me when you wrote that.
Oh, not you in particular, just at the accent a little bit.
Yeah. And I'm from New York, so I don't have the Minnesota accent. And I don't think Lisa really does either. You don't have the long O's and...
I catch myself sounding like I'm a Minnesota.
I've had a couple of coworkers that have had it really bad.
Yeah. A couple of my family members who have lived here all their lives have the long O's and all of that. So I find that kind of fun. But I chuckled when I read that. I thought that was pretty cool that Tony would come from.
Yeah, I have no business talking. Most of my family's from Boston, so we really wrecking.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't get to talk.
Oh, he left. Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, as I was saying last time you were on, it was in May. So what's been happening with you and your writing career since we last talked?
Oh, I've been doing a lot. I released the last book in Crimson Footprints. The third one came out in January. I have a new series that will release in the next couple of months. That's a young adult book series. That one has 7 books in it. I'm also releasing a novella. That one will be out in probably about 2 months. I have a lot of projects that I'm juggling. So I'm kind of here and there.
And as I was going to mention, and I do have a question a little bit along the lines here later on, but we will talk about it a little bit more. But you know, for you to get reviews from USA Today is saying quite a bit. So,
all three of the books have been reviewed by USA Today in the Crimson Footprint series.
You have got, like I say, a lot of very good reviews on your series. How does it make you feel when you receive a review from someone like USA Today?
It's humbling because, you know, it's the sort of thing that really can go either way. It can really smash you or it can, you know, really lift you up. So you never know what you're going to get. So it's really one of those humbling sort of things. So I really appreciate it. It's really a feeling of validation. So I just take it and I run with it. I do what
I
can.
Lisa, you got a question?
Yeah. After writing 3 books in your series, are there any significant changes in your writing style? And what have you learned along the way?
It's not so much that there's a change. It's more that it's like settling into your voice. Because the first book in the series was the first book that I ever wrote. And there was some nervousness attached to that, and I'd really just graduated from college, so I was really young, and it was just really finding my way. And by the third book, I was much more comfortable with how I wanted to write and what I wanted to say and what was the way that I wanted to write. And so I think it was just settling into my groove and that sort of thing. The third book is a little bit shorter than the first one. And so it was just more of that, more of myself in the third book would be the best way to put it. More confidence in the third one than the first one.
Do you find that your writing flowed easier after the second book? You went into your third book. Did it flow easier?
Oh, tremendously. The first book took me like 2 years to write. And by the third book, it took me barely a month.
Oh, wow.
There was such a difference in the amount of time it took me to write that it's crazy the amount of time it took me to the difference in timing and everything. I was so unsure with the first one, and I threw out so much material, and just going back and listening to so many voices. And by the third one, I had so much more confidence. It was a different writer.
Yeah, I suppose that once you learn the characters too, after they've been developed and you get a sense of who they are, and then they get to know you, and you get to know them, because this is sort of a two-way street
people.
In your writing.
Right, yeah. Exactly right. They are already developed. They're fully developed. It's just a matter of, you know, putting together the storyline this time.
Yeah. You mentioned during our first interview that you invested a lot of research time into your writing. Book number 2, what did you spend most of your time researching?
There wasn't much research done for this one. It was more about Lizzie's experience with drugs and withdrawal and those sort of things and the life that she would have led. I needed to do a lot of research for detox and just the ups and downs that went into that. Since I learned a lot about architecture already for the first one, I didn't need to do that research, but it was just her lifestyle that I needed to look into and the chemical changes that her body was going to be going through. I needed to familiarize myself with that so that the story took on realism and I just didn't make up things as I was going along there.
Yeah.
So that was the crux of my research there.
Yeah, you I think you, from your first interview, I think you had said that you did a lot of research. So this is sort of a break in book number two then.
Right. Yeah, compared to number one. Number one, I think I overdosed on research compared to what I had to do for number two. It was just really here and there. Because, you know, everyone knows a little bit. You know, you drink alcohol, you get drunk. You know a little bit. But there was a little bit of, I obviously don't know what the side effects of, like, heroin were, but it's not hard. You know, you can just kind of go on the Internet and side effects of heroin and, you know,
yeah.
Symptoms come up. You know, it wasn't as detailed a process as how do you build a building. So it was a break for me. The research was really lightweight compared to what it was for book one.
And I imagine a lot of the research, we talked about this in the first show, but a lot of the research that you did in this series revolves around the architecture that these two main characters, or several of these characters, are involved with. And I was totally blown away by the amount of information, and it sounded like a knowledge base that you had, because we had talked about it on the first show about how they keep telling us to write what you know, and you were
right.
Saying that you didn't really have a lot of knowledge base in architecture, and a lot of that is just research.
Yeah, I didn't have any at all.
That's crazy. Wow.
Not a clue about architecture. Everything I learned it for that book, I had nothing.
That just goes to show how brilliant she is, though.
Yeah. I mean, to be able
to
do that.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that. But, yeah, I knew nothing. Not a thing.
Yeah. And then it also kind of perks everybody to, you know, if you're going to write a story, don't be afraid. I mean, you've got so many resources these days where you can go on the Internet, you go on YouTube, you can go into Google Maps even if you're looking for a place for your story to, you know, the central place of where your story is going to be. You can go into Google Maps and find it right there in the map.
That's exactly what I do. Every story. I live in the city, I verify with Google Maps. There's no reason not to. I did a workshop at the, it was more like a panel, at the Tucson Festival of Books last year. I led one, and I told them instead of, you know, writing, you always hear write what you know. That's actually what the panel was called that I led. I said instead of write what you know, I'll amend it. What you need to commit yourself to is writing what you are willing to learn. If you're willing to learn it,
mm-hmm.
then write about it.
Yeah, and it
open yourself
makes
up
the,
to that
makes
notion.
The writing, I think it makes the writing more interesting, because if you write what you know, and obviously a lot of people do that, not taking away from that, but it's a lot more fun to write what you don't know, because you're spending a lot of time researching, and that's got to be exciting.
Right.
To some extent. So I would say, yeah, as Lisa keeps saying, and has said in a couple of your blogs, go do something that you're not used to doing.
Oh, yeah.
And that's basically what you've done is you've gone out there and learned about something else that you had no knowledge of. And I think that's really, really cool.
Include one thing that I know nothing about, even if it's a very small thing. I always do just to learn something.
Yeah, that's great. When a writer becomes successful and is fortunate enough to develop a fan base as you have, Shawanda, your readers have a tendency to follow or develop a liking for certain characters. And we know that Lizzie was a big part of it, but who do your readers like the most in your series, and how does this impact you as a writer? I imagine you probably got a lot of input from your readers before you wrote book number two.
They're in love with Tack. I've had several tell me that they plan on marrying this non-existent person. they are very much in love with him, and if they can marry him, then they'll marry his younger brother Kenji.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you ever felt that you were going to fall in love with a taco sauce?
I heard the earlier part of this conversation. No, I haven't suffered for want of condiments.
I think that would be just a super lead into a short story about marrying hot sauce.
I kind of disagree.
And now Lisa's going to write a blog about it. So her date.
I can't imagine that would be very long.
Yeah. I don't really see
any spinoffs, nothing.
So how was Tony conceived in your mind?
I wanted some way to. Now, Tony was the son of Dina's brother from the first book, and you know he died pretty early in the first book. And I didn't want her connection to her older, to her brother from the first book to be, you know, completely severed. So I got to thinking, you know, of some way that I could rekindle that, and that was what I came up with. But I also wanted some way for her to kind of question some of these notions she had about her brother, because they were clearly, you know, as far as any person that was familiar with the first book, they were clearly kind of not realistic. They were not realistic notions. The notions that she had about her brother was a drug dealer and, you know, all these other things. And she had this image of him that was really outdated, and she wouldn't accept that. And so I wanted her to eventually to have to come and, you know, face those things in the series later. So that was how I resurrected Tony. And so I brought him in, and so I had to bring, when I brought Tony back, I got to thinking about his personality and what sort of personality he would have, and since he wasn't connected to the family, I got to thinking about foster children and the sort of problems they have sometimes when they're, you know, disconnected from loving families and that kind of thing, and that's when I started plugging in these problems and just really you know, giving him these kind of meddlesome problems and just consulting with different people. And, you know, why would he have these problems or what are the different conditions he might have? And that's really how I came up with these characteristics for him.
So he wasn't conceived before or during your writing of book number one. He actually came after book number one.
Right. He didn't come until later. Right.
Yeah, that's the wonderful thing about creating stories is that sometimes you can change on the fly. I'm sure they do that a lot with soap operas because I used to be a fan of a couple of soap operas, and I often wonder what it would be like to actually write for a show like that. It would be kind of fun, kind of, you know, to play around with different characters and bring in new ones and all that. So, yeah, that's pretty cool. We also talked about when you were on the first show, we talked about your wanting to be a lawyer before you became a writer. And during our first interview with you, and also about how your parents reacted to you dropping out of law school
right.
to become a writer. So I found that interesting. And I'm wondering, how are they feeling now? How are they doing these days with that?
They're much better, actually, about me being a writer. They're much kinder to their daughter, the writer, now.
Did you wave that USA Today review in their faces when they came through?
Well, it hasn't come to that, but they mention, you know, a couple of reviews here and there to, you know, people sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
As they've been known to you know, mention the articles. So I guess that's worth something. But yeah,
so,
they're much better.
So what do you do when you're not writing?
Oh, well, I usually use those 3 hours to sleep. And then, you know, I use about that 20 minutes left to groom, and then I take the next 20 minutes to eat, I suppose. And then the rest of the time is for writing. So, yeah, I spend a lot of time for writing. No, I'm really obsessive. But, okay. I watch, like, almost no television.
Oh.
I watch 2.5 hours of television a week, literally. I watch Downton Abbey and SNL when they're in season. That's it. I read... I'm serious. That's it. That's all I watch. I won't watch anything else.
You don't watch The Walking Dead?
No. That's so. That's like so gross.
Or what does Lisa watch? You watch The Housewives of Beverly Hills?
Housewives of insert whatever city.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I don't watch stuff like that. Seriously, I watch those are the two shows I watch. I'm on my Kindle all the time. I have, like, my husband says I get books on the black market. I have so many books. Like, that is what I do. I spend all my time on my Kindle. I watch those two shows when they come on. I write. I spend time with my kid. That's it. That's like my life.
Yeah. So we haven't talked about your husband. What does he do?
He is a school teacher.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's the short of it.
Do you ask for any input from him on your writing?
Oh, I harass him. Yeah, I harass him about... things that have to do with men. I run, like, men checks by him. Would a man do this? Does this sound like something a man would say? That sort of thing.
Yeah.
I suppose,
depending on how long you've been married, but by now you should be an expert in that.
Yeah, I double check just to make sure, and sometimes he'll say, no, that sounds like a girl. And
okay.
It's very simple. It's a very simple trick for all women. I'll give away the secret for all women writers. Use as few words as you can to say whatever it is you're trying to say. That's it. And then you'll sound like a man.
Yeah,
that's all you have to do.
That's good. That's good.
You'll sound just like a guy.
Uh-huh.
Use the shortest words and as few words. Remove all the words you can, and you're done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
no feeling there either, I suppose, right?
Exactly.
Right,
exactly. Any sort of emotional words is too many. Yeah, you've messed up. Edit.
Just spills out of our heads without no thought or screen or anything. Just
oh, my God.
He's giving you jewels here. Your people aren't
there,
listening.
Oh. So have you thought about, or are you involved in writing what comes after the Crimson Footprint series?
I don't know what will be released next. I have my YA series I'm shipping around to agents. I was, before I did the Crimson Footprint series, I was represented by an agent. And, you know, we went the traditional route. I'll probably go back to that. I don't know. I'll kind
mm-hmm.
of see.
What about what?
I'm sorry.
What about doing some classroom? We talked about, in the first show, we talked about you getting involved in possibly teaching other writers the craft, because you have an extensive background in doing that. Has that crossed your
right.
mind at all?
I don't know. I'm not really able to travel as much right now because my health has really been, like, kicking my butt.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure where I would be with that. And South Florida isn't really, like, a writer's community. You know how some cities really are, like Boston, or I know when I was in Arizona, it really seemed like a writer's community in Tucson. This doesn't really seem like a writer's community. So I'm not really sure.
Mm-hmm. Well,
it just kind of depend. It's really disjointed
yeah.
here.
Yeah, just
for example,
you know,
there are no bookstores in the city.
Go with the flow, I suppose, right? And do what you
yeah.
like to do.
Or you could create it.
Yeah. yeah.
There might be people there that are just like you out there that want to be in a community, but they don't, you know, you could make it.
Yeah. It's just really disjointed here. You have to go far to even find a bookstore. The bookstores have closed. And, I mean, I'm in a major city.
Yeah.
It's not a reading sort of city.
Yeah, that's sad with the bookstores closing. You've got the Amazon out there now and all of the e-books and everything that are going on. And I miss walking through a bookstore. I used to do that a lot more than I do these days, but I do miss that. So, and I wish more people would do that. It's a lot of fun. It's really interesting. And you meet some interesting people if you stick around long enough.
Yeah.
Shawanda, in the first show, we didn't get a chance to ask you this question, but we do of all of our authors here on the show, or we try to. If you could meet a famous person, who would it be? And if you were alone with them in a room, what would be the first question you would ask them?
Oh, no. Let's see. A famous person. I'm really bad at, like, groupie stuff.
I would say George Clooney.
But you really?
Yeah.
And if you had to ask him anything, it would be, will you marry me?
Oh, there goes
oh,
the hot
boy.
Sauce.
Hot sauce is out the door.
Is out the door.
But I've met, like, famous people before. I've met several famous people.
Like who?
I went to college with Ruben Studdard.
He's a singer. American Idol winner.
He's really cool.
No, I was just explaining to him who Ruben Studdard was.
Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't know. I think I remember him now you mention it. The first name rings a bell.
Yep.
Yeah.
I met D.L. Hughley last year at a comedy show.
I like him.
Mm-hmm. Who's your favorite writer?
Oh, probably Stephen King. I've been reading him since I was 10.
I wouldn't know what to ask him, though. He's got
I don't have any questions. That's the problem.
He's got such a deep, dark mind.
I know. Like, and I hate just sitting here, like, with dead space, but I don't have any questions.
Okay. Your mouth would drop open right if you sat in a room with him, I would imagine,
I don't
right?
think it would. That's the thing. I don't think it would. I feel awful. I'm not, like, a groupie kind of person. Like, oh, my God, could you just, like...
You're the best kind, though.
It's okay.
You can think about it, and we're going to have you on again.
I'm terrible.
It's
I'm
okay.
Terrible at this. I'm sorry. I feel like a failure.
Well, your assignment your assignment for I think we're going to have you on again in April will be to come up with the question you would ask Stephen King.
Okay.
I know. Isn't she? Yeah, we love having her on.
Undo or change anything about your books, what would they be? Or what would it be?
I could change anything. I would probably make the first one a little shorter. I think I could probably say some things and make it a little less wordy.
That leads me to my next question is how many words was the second and third books less words than the first book?
Yeah, I think the first one was like 89 and I think the second one was like 81,000.
Okay.
And then the third one is like 72,000 or something.
Uh-huh.
I can talk.
Well, I love both of them, and I'm looking forward to number three.
Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm. If
the
you,
third one is really fun.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see, and hopefully you don't have to give it away. Don't spoil it, but I would like to know more about what happens to Tony as he grows up.
Okay.
Okay, she's already written it, so I'll have to find out what happened. Okay, so it made it sound like she's going to go back and rewrite the story.
I was about to clap my hand over my mouth.
Okay, I won't mention that, but I'm sure you get a lot of that anyway. We're getting close to the end here. We have only 6 minutes left. And a couple things here, if you could, within that 6 minutes. You have a wealth of information, as we talked about. Any advice to writers who haven't been published yet?
Yes, of course. I would advise them to remember that writing is not a race that goes to the swift. There's always this feeling that they need to get published now, that they need to hurry, that they need to run for the first publisher that reaches out to them, or that they need to hurry up and just put something out now, and that they just need to remember to take their time and to go slow and to consider all their options. It's not a race for the swift.
Mm-hmm.
They need to take their time because they will probably regret it really soon if they don't.
That's good advice. Very good advice. So, Shawanda, we've reached the end of our interview, and where can people find you on the internet?
Oh, I'm everywhere. You can reach out to me on Facebook. Just type in Shawanda, Shawanda Pugh, and you can like me on Facebook. Author Shawanda Pugh. You can also send me a friend request. You can find me on Twitter at Shawanda Pugh, one word. You can also find me on Goodreads, Shawanda Pugh, same way. You can go to my blog, shawandapugh.blogspot.com. And that is about it. Oh, you can also visit my publisher's page at delphinepublications.com. That's DelphinePublications, delphinepublications.com.
Very good. And, dear, you know, it's like all of these writers that come on the program, I feel like I have a fast and very nice friendship with all of you, and especially you. You're so much fun to talk to, and I really enjoy it, and I look forward to you coming back on in April, and I will be reviewing your third book. And I'm sure that one will be just as good as the other two, and I'm looking forward to Tony. So we'll see what happens to Tony.
Well, it's great talking to you guys. I had fun.
Thank you again, Shawanda. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Okay, you guys take care. Bye.
Oh, I found her delightful.
Yeah, she is fun. And like I say, a lot of our writers are. And that brings us to the end of another show. And the next time, of course, as I said in the beginning of the program, we will have on in 2 weeks, the author Samuel Hawley wrote Bad Elephant Farstream. And one thing that you need to do if you haven't done already, get over to my blog over at tomridell.com/blog and read the review, because at the bottom of the review there is a video of the elephant Topsy, which is the actual elephant that the story is based on. And watch that video. It's a little disturbing, but it's important for you to know what happened to Topsy before you read the book, I think. And, of course, on March 31st, the big event, it's going to be a two-hour show with Hugh Howey, Michael Sullivan, and Brian Anderson. And keep looking out for that event and updates on that for Spotlights on the Facebook page. So with that, I'd like to thank everybody for being on the show. Again, my co-host, my wonderful co-host here, guest co-host would be Lisa Lee.
It's
and
a blast, as
she's
always.
She's off to her hot sauce.
Yes.
And we'll let you two be alone. And as we say on the Writer's Lounge, it's been good writing and good reading. And what else do I say? Can never remember what else I say. But anyways, I'll say goodbye. Until next time, we'll talk to you later.
Dark as night in the middle of the day. Your faith and your fences have been blown away. You're down in the cellar and you've locked yourself in. Ah, but it looks like it's rainbow weather again. It looks like it's rainbow weather again. Storm clouds apart and the sun will peek in. The rain will roll out. And it looks like it's rainbow weather again. horn. He said, Noah, get ready, for the sky will be torn. Build as I tell you, save what you can. Then wait while the rainbow weather begins. It looks like it's rainbow weather again. Storm clouds apart and the sun will peek in. The rain will roll out on a westerly wind. And it looks like it's rainbow weather. Trouble will come, but trouble will go. You're living in fear, but what do you know? You know that the sun's always coming then. You know there'll be rainbow weather again. It looks like it's rainbow weather again. The storm clouds apart and the sun will peek in. The rain will roll out. Like it's rainbow weather. Yeah, it looks like it's rainbow weather again. The storm clouds apart and the sun peeking.